This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from Chevrolet. At Chevrolet, we bring people together with the things that matter to them most. Visit Chevrolet.gm.ca.
Hi, I'm Fiona Downey, sitting in for Bernard Saint-Laurent. You're listening to a podcast of C'est la vie, a program about life in French-speaking Canada. This week on C'est la vie, we have a tale to tell. It's a haunting story that says a lot about how Quebec society has changed in the past 50 years. It's about a time when it was shameful for children to be born to unwed mothers, and when those infants were often given up for adoption. Today in Quebec, there's no longer a stigma attached to giving birth outside of wedlock, and the majority of adoptions in the province are international ones. But that wasn't the case in the 1950s, and that's where our tale begins. Susan Woodfine brings us the story.
It's 1951 on the Magdalen Islands. This Quebec archipelago is in the middle of the Gulf of St. Lawrence. It's a windswept and isolated place. Water laps along the foreshore at Fatima, near Cap aux Mules. A plane appears overhead. It circles for landing. On board is 19-year-old flight attendant Roma Pelletier. He doesn't know it yet, but this day will stay with him for the rest of his life. He, four nuns, and a social worker have been entrusted with the mission to care for 31 infants until they can be handed over to their new parents. It's been a 3-hour flight from Quebec City, but now it's coming to an end. These young souls are about to begin new lives on the islands. The plane descends, alighting among the dunes beside the frigid waters of the St. Lawrence.
Bon, présentement, c'est moi je disais toujours la plage, mais c'est sur les dunes, ensemble, mais c'est tout près de la plage.
Today, Romain Pelletier is 75 years old. He's remembering landing here on a Sunday 56 years ago. He says there was a lot of crying, but it was a pleasant flight. He says he was marked by it. That's why he's back here today.
C'est parce que ça m'avait resté marqué de ce voyage-là. Les émotions étaient grandes quand je suis arrivé ici à Fatima. C'est fantastique. On dirait pas qu'un DC-3 atterrit ici dans cette période-là.
Roma cannot believe a Douglas DC-3 aircraft landed on this very spot. It's a beach. There's no signage, no runway. And to get here from inland is an obstacle course. There are sharp turns and dune after dune. Roma recalls the events that led him to be on that flight.
Flight agent qui était dans le temps.
His first real job was as a flight attendant with Rimouski Airlines.
On nous avait demandé de transporter des enfants de l'ancienne Norette ici aux îles. Et c'est cette plage-là ici à Fatima où on atterrit.
One day, his employer called with an unusual request. The airline wanted him to work on a Sunday for a charter flight. They were to fly from Montjoly to Ancienne Lorette, a suburb of Quebec City. There, they would pick up a plane load of babies from La Crèche Saint-Vincent-de-Paul. It was a foundling home where nuns cared for infants born out of wedlock.
Comme référence, les enfants avaient seulement un petit bracelet sur le bras avec le nom des parents qui adoptaient ces enfants-là.
Each child was to wear a bracelet with the names of the parents who would adopt them.
En somme, pour moi, c'était mon travail au départ, mais je pensais pas que c'était si pesant que ça. Je pensais pas que c'était.
Roma accepted the job, but he didn't realize how the experience would mark him. He says it's the kind of thing that happens to you once in a lifetime.
C'est une chose qui arrive peut-être une fois dans la vie, pas juste de moi, d'autres personnes à qui À qui j'en ai parlé, il ne me croyait pas. Il disait, tu nous montes un bateau.
Over the years, Romain Peltier tells many people his story. They can't believe their ears. The plane comes to a halt on the makeshift landing strip. Romain Peltier opens the aircraft door. He takes two steps down.
La première impression, c'est quand j'ai vu les gens qui étaient rassemblés, parce qu'il n'y avait pas juste les 31 parents, il y avait aussi beaucoup de monde qui sont venus voir.
The plane is surrounded by a crowd of people who've traveled from various island communities. Among them, parents waiting for 31 babies, 8 infant girls and 23 little boys. The nurses prepare them. Then, Homa takes each and every child one by one and places them into the arms of their new parents.
C'est difficile pour moi. C'est ça que je me rappelle le plus. Quand j'ai vu les parents pleurer à cause que quel beau bébé et que sensation qu'ils ont eue de voir ces enfants-là.
Roma trembles with emotion, remembering those beautiful babies.
Ils étaient tous beaux. Je ne sais pas si on restait beaux, mais ils sont tous beaux.
He sees the tears in the parents' eyes as they receive a child to call their own.
On se demandait tout le temps si ça avait tombé dans des bonnes familles puis si ça allait bien survivre. Hein?
But he's left wondering, did those babies survive? Were they with good families? The years pass. Romain leaves the airline. He stays in Rimouski and gets a job in sales. But that flight stays with him, and every time he meets someone from the Magdalen Islands, he asks about it. Had they heard of a flight, a plane load of babies?
Hello, hi.
Michel Landré works at the local radio station in Cap-au-Meul on the Magdalen Islands. It's Michel's day off, but the mother of two's phone doesn't stop ringing. Michel Landré was born and raised here. But when it came to the story of the 31 adopted babies, Michel knew nothing. A year ago, a listener called Michel. She urged her to speak with a lady who was one of the 31 parents to adopt a baby back in October of 1951.
Alors c'était évidemment émouvant, c'était touchant, c'est une histoire unique. On n'a jamais entendu parler d'une histoire pareille.
Alors Michel began what ended up being months of research.
C'était une minute du patrimoine québécois et canadien, mais aussi beaucoup maglino.
It was like a history lesson. Michel made contact with the nuns from the foundling home, and she eventually tracked down the children and some of the parents. Michel found herself becoming more and more attached to these children, to this story. She couldn't figure out why, and then it clicked. Michel had her own distant memories of abandonment. When she was just 3 years old, she went into a coma. In the hospital, she remembers her mother leaving her. She was gone for only 1 week, but she never forgot that. She felt a common bond with those children. On Valentine's Day this year, Michel aired the first report about that mass adoption in 1951. Michel got many phone calls. One was from this man, Jean-Pierre Godet. He was one of those adopted babies. When he was 7 or 8 years old, Jean-Pierre's parents had told him he was adopted and he had known about the flight. But Michel's report brought home to him the singularity of the event. Jean-Pierre told Michel they should have a reunion someday, and then he promptly forgot about it. That was until a month ago, and then destiny stepped in. Jean-Pierre got a phone call from a couple on the Meigs who had been visiting Rimouski. And by chance, they'd met Romain Peltier. After 56 years, Homa was still asking everyone he met from the islands if they knew about those adopted babies. And this time, at last, the answer was yes. The couple gave Jean-Pierre Romain's number, and when Jean-Pierre learned who Roma was, he called him directly. Roma was overjoyed. The two bonded immediately, and when Jean-Pierre half-jokingly asked Roma when he was coming to the Meigs, Roma replied right away. To meet one of those babies he held 56 years ago would be enough. But Jean-Pierre wanted to do more. He asked Michel Landré. Together, they scheduled a reunion to coincide with Roma's visit. Both figured with Michel's research they would have a good chance of tracking down many of those babies. Both joke, they crammed months of organization into 2 weeks. That reunion, it's tonight. This reunion has touched Michel like no other project. She says those kids were abandoned, and she's not going to let it happen again. She wants to reach every adoptee before this evening, even if they can't actually make it. These children are part of our collective heritage, she says. They deserve to be here and to learn about that.
Ils sont là, ils sont aimés et ils sont précieux pour la collectivité madelinienne et pour tout le Québec. Alors vraiment, c'est mon plus grand désir.
On the beach at Fatima, Roma is joined by Jean-Pierre Godet and another adoptee, Octave Boudreau. Jean-Pierre was 22 months when he arrived here that fateful day. Now, he's 57. He's a teacher. Octave was 7 months old. Now, he's 56, and he's a lobster fisherman. Both men still live on the islands, have married, and have children.
Aujourd'hui, je suis bien heureux. J'ai vu la piste où on atterrit. J'ai rencontré des amis, Jean-Pierre, Octave.
Roma only met Octave and Jean-Pierre 2 days ago. But somehow, a bond was forged on this beach 56 years ago. Jean-Pierre chuckles. He says it was Roma who took him on his first plane ride. Jean-Pierre has been coordinating Roma's days since he got here, and Octave has been driving him everywhere. Roma is moved by their generosity. He reflects again on that day and how beautiful the babies were. He says he's not sure if they all stayed beautiful, but these two did. Jean-Pierre Godet jokes that Roma still looks the same. They laugh. Octave is a man of few words. He becomes serious. Octave tells Roma he started looking for his birth parents when his adoptive parents got sick. He found them in Ontario. It was very emotional.
Ça bat fort. Et eux autres aussi, quand j'ai arrivé en Ontario, puis j'ai rencontré ma vraie mère, puis mes deux sœurs, c'était une grosse émotion.
Octave says he didn't really care about why he was adopted. He says they were just so happy to see each other. That was enough. He tells Roma that he was his adoptive parents' only child and that he was pretty spoiled.
J'étais gâté un peu.
Oui. J'étais gâté, Octave. C'est des choses que j'aime.
Ah oui, il m'a acheté des voitures.
Roma is happy to hear that.
Très bien.
They take pictures. All three know tonight's reunion will be emotional.
Oui, ça c'est. Je pense que on devrait attendre ce soir pour la balance. Okay.
Being here is a lot for Roma. You can see it in his eyes. I tell him I see tears. He knows. Roma heads off with Octave. He needs to rest before the reunion. I walk into the hall. Octave Boudreau's wife greets me. The venue is warm and inviting. There are about 15 tables, each decorated with a wicker basket with chips and cheesies. There is a bar in the back. Up front is a display of photos. Beside that, 31 names are pinned up on a board. I see Michelle off in the distance. She's running around and she's all dressed up. You know she's nervous. Michelle and Jean-Pierre helped organize tonight's event. They say yes, the Magdalen Islands are a small place, but communities are scattered. They're sure only 3 or 4 of the adopted children know each other. People start to file in. Soon there are between 40 and 50 people.
C'est Roger qui était ingénieur sur l'avion, qui était le navigateur.
Romain mingles with the crowd. They treat him like a visiting dignitary. They're almost lining up to talk to him. It's the first time he sees these pictures of the plane on the tarmac in Quebec City. He still loves planes.
TDK, TDL, GVZ. Ça c'était un freighter plus que.
Romain looks at a photo of himself at 19.
Je me revois en 51. J'avais 19 ans quand même.
In the picture, he's serious, very concentrated.
Très, très grosse affaire.
Romain says he knew then that something out of the ordinary was happening. Romain shows me a tiny pink flannel jacket. Ghislaine Doyle looks at him. She was at the beach with her aunt who adopted a baby that day. She remembers seeing that pink outfit. The girls had pink, the boys wore blue. She was only 4 years old, but the memory is very clear. She was on her grandfather's shoulders. She had never seen a plane before. So to see a plane in the sand and all those babies dressed in blue and pink coming out of the plane that day, she says she's never forgotten. Jean-Pierre Godet starts the presentation. He says it's nice to finally put a face to the people he has talked to over the last while. As he talks, some people look at the photos on the wall. The foundling home is jam-packed with babies. One photo shows babies sleeping in little baths. There are boxes on the floor. Some have 4 babies in a tiny wooden box. Jean-Pierre asks if anybody recognized themselves there. He didn't, he says, and everybody laughs. He then explains how this evening's reunion was precipitated because of one man. He introduces Romain Pelletier. They smile and clap. Romain takes the stage. He goes over to the names on the board. He explains what happened that day. Then, one by one, he calls out the names of the 31 babies from 56 years ago. There is silence in the room. Those who are present stand up. Some say a few words. Then he calls out Richard Noël. She isn't here tonight, but Romain gets a surprise. Her mother is. Romain can't believe it. He walks over to Madame Esther Noël. He hugs her. She's 92. Romain continues to call the names out. The mood is jovial. Then Romain calls out the name of adoptee Daniel Lapierre. He stands up. Romain thanks him for coming. He's 57 years old. He's in the terminal stages of cancer. Romain finishes the list. 13 of the adopted children are here this evening. The others are spread across Quebec, New Brunswick, and Prince Edward Island. Michel Landry plays recorded messages from some of the adoptees who could not attend.
Bonsoir tout le monde. Je suis Cécile Bouchard. J'ai été adoptée à l'âge de 6 mois.
That's Cécile Bouchard. She lives in New Brunswick. She's the mayoress in her town. She promises to come to the Megs and look people up. She even wants to go to Rimouski to meet Romain Pelletier. In the message, Cécile Bouchard says she hasn't been as lucky as some of them. She worked really hard. She dug up a lot of information. But Cécile was never able to track down her biological parents. After Cécile's recorded message, Jean-Pierre gives people information on how to track down their biological parents. And then Michel Landry answers the question a lot of people have been wondering about. Why were there 31 babies on the flight that day? Michel explains that a year prior to the adoptions, nurses at the hospital and sisters in the community began to visit parents. They had 31 requests for babies, so 31 children were delivered. It was as simple as that. The night wraps up. Pictures are taken. Roma thanks all of his new friends. He says he'll board the plane tomorrow with a feeling of satisfaction. He thanks Octave for his taxi service. He says he drives a bit fast, but that's okay. The hall empties out. Michel is taking the names down off the board. I ask if she's achieved what she set out to do. She says yes. The people had answers to their questions. Michel says they were fascinated by the pictures. They were so impressed. They have more baggage than when they arrived. Hopefully that will help them, she says. For Michel, the highlight was welcoming them, giving them a name tag.
J'ai apposé leur nom sur leur poitrine, puis je les ai touchés.
She says they were finally there in front of her, and she could touch them.
Ils avaient venu, ils s'étaient déplacés. Alors c'est aussi être reconnaissant du travail que j'ai fait.
By showing up, they sort of acknowledged her work.
C'est gentil.
That was really nice, she says. Sadly, four out of the 31 children on that 1951 flight have since died. Michel reads their names.
Alors, Roger Vignot, Laurent Chevrier, Claudius Thériault, Firmin Chasson.
They have little white doves beside their names. Michel says she learned a lesson this evening, that despite hardship or bad luck, you have to remain open. You have to believe that kindness exists. And these children, Michel says, got just that, kindness.
La bonté, elle existe, la grandeur d'âme, on en a eu.
Before I say goodbye to Jean-Pierre Godet, he shows me one last photo. He points to a young woman standing with a nun in front of the old foundling home in Quebec City. He tells me it's his daughter Mélanie. She went to visit La Crèche recently. The place has a special meaning for her. Both her parents came from there. Jean-Pierre and his wife were both babies on that 1951 flight. For C'est la vie, I'm Susan Woodfine in Etang du Nord on the Magdalen Islands.
Thanks, Susan. Between 1901 and 1972, the St. Vincent de Paul Foundling Home placed 26,000 children in new homes. Les enfants étaient placés. The children were placed in adoptive families. And that's our word of the week, placé, to place.
Je dis aux enfants, placez vos chaises, parce qu'ils sont tous rangés à côté du mur. Put your chairs by your desks.
Quand tout le monde parle en même temps et que tu n'arrives pas à en parler, tu ne peux pas en placer une. You can't get a word in edgewise.
On peut se mettre à la place de quelqu'un quand on arrive à comprendre ce qu'il ressent. When you can understand what someone is feeling, you can put yourself in their shoes.
Je suis mal placé pour vous répondre en anglais. I am not in a position to answer.
Quand tu réchauffes la voix avant de chanter, tu places ta voix. When you warm up your voice before you sing, you pitch your voice.
Well, that's how people in Calgary use this week's word of the week, placé. Joining me now is our word lady, Joanne Blais, in Ottawa. Hello, Joanne.
Hi.
How do we spell placé?
Placé. Alors, may I say that je suis bien placée pour le faire?
Yes, you are the person to address the question.
So it's very easy. It's P-L-A-C-E-R for the verb and just P-L-A-C-E with an acute accent also.
When it's conjugated. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite expression with placé?
Well, one that I use often, and maybe it comes with age, Fiona, is when you see someone and you know you've seen this person before, but vous ne pouvez pas la placer.
Yeah, j'arrive pas à le placer. I can't place that person.
Mm-hmm. Or you'll say, je ne peux pas placer de nom sur son visage. And it happened to me Saturday night, and I'm still searching for the answer, right? So that I could say I use quite often.
You can't put a name to the face.
So exactly.
The face is familiar, but yeah, on peut pas placer un nom sur le visage.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's when you have to nudge your spouse and say, you jump in after X number of seconds when I haven't come up with the name.
Oh, the other expression, c'est de la fierté mal placée.
Ah.
Let's say you wouldn't admit that you forgot the name, right? And then you could say, well, your pride is misplaced, right? You should admit that you don't remember, and that's
true.
The end of it, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We all sometimes don't dare to say that we need help or... you know, that we forgot something.
So, yes, you can be bien placé, as you were, to spell out placé, or you could be mal placé.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in a position to
address.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, we're talking about children today. And when people give advice and never had children, alors I could say, ils sont mal placés pour critiquer or donner des conseils, right?
Talk about parenting.
We can place an object somewhere.
Right. Just physically relocating it or situating it?
Yes, exactly. Like right now, this week, two of my children are turning, one is turning 16 and 18. And believe it or not, still at that age, right, they want their presents placés au pied de leur lit when they wake up on the morning of their birthday.
Lay the presents at the foot of their bed, please.
I started that. It's my problem.
Oh.
Bye. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Joanne. Joanne Blais is our word lady. We reach her every week in Ottawa. We love hearing from you at C'est la vie. You can reach us at area code 514-597-4486. Our email address is clv@cbc.ca. C'est la vie is produced by Alison Cook. I'm Fiona Downey. Au revoir.
Hi, I'm Jesse Brown. I'm the host of Search Engine, a new CBC radio show that is all about how the internet is changing politics and culture. It's not a gadget show. We don't really care much about technology so much as we care about the effect that technology is having on the world that we live in. All of the surprising and significant and funny stories that we bring you on Search Engine are about things that are happening right now. In the short time that we've been on the air, we've already become the CBC's most popular news podcast in the States. So come find out why. Subscribe to our podcast on CBC's podcasting page or through iTunes.